A God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School, where our subject and focus is on God, and that as He has revealed Himself through His Word, that faith might come, that we might come to understand that God is faithful, that He does what He says. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man, thank God, that He should lie, nor the Son of Man, that He should repent. As He says, so shall it be. As He speaks. I don't think I'm quoting that 100% right, so bear with me for a moment. This is where all of us, throughout the ages, that is, God's people, get into trouble when we rely on our memory. Let me quote it. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He said, shall He not do it? Or has He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Before we get into the teaching today, I want to give you an update about our great friend and sister in Christ, Gloria Brown. She had some struggles as she went through these medical procedures that I told you about last week. Praise God, she's out of the hospital. The woman is 86 years old, and it's taken her a little time to recover. But I'm happy to report her faith is strong. She got hit with a shot. It wasn't something she expected. But her faith remained strong. I want to start today in Psalm 84. Now, this is not the teaching, but I want to use this as a starting off point today. Psalm 84, verse 5, says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. That thee is God. Now the King James says, and in whose heart are the ways, and the last words of them are in italics. It's not what's being said here. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of thee. Who passing through the valley of Baca, that means weeping, make it a well. Now, we've taught on this several times. That's not quite the subject, but it's a place to start off. It talks about the blessed man or woman. It says, who's passing? They're on a journey. They're going somewhere. And the Christians claim, and the Christians hope, is that heaven is their home, and this life on earth speaks of being on a journey. Says part of the journey is passing through valleys of weeping. But it also says that in the midst of the valley, they make it a well. What is that? That is a place where fellow travelers might find refreshment, might find renewal, might find hope. I don't often speak or give personal testimonies, but this last week I got hit with a left hook that I never saw coming. Never saw it, hadn't thought about it, was just, it just never occurred to me. And those of you who know me, you know I'm pretty even-tempered. In fact, years and years ago, a business associate said, Don is the most even-tempered person I know. But he added, he's always half mad. Well, maybe then that was true. But today, or in these times, by God's grace and his gift of faith, there hasn't been much that staggered me, that to use a modern term, that really stressed me out. And I hope today that the word that's brought might offer to all of you some comfort, some encouragement, some understanding. And the result of that is that your hope which is also a gift of God, might continue. I don't want to go into the details of what it was that staggered me. Suffice it to say, back to using current vernacular, that stressed me out. I sleep very well without aids, save the aid of the grace of God. But I sleep very well. And this news that came, as I said, out of the blue, and brought because of my own lack of strength, brought on distress. Now, look. I've been at this a long time. Dr. Scott, when he used to teach, used to say, "Hey, I'm the teacher. I'm telling you how to handle it. This stuff's not supposed to happen to me." You know? But it did to him. Circumstance. It did this week to me, and I sought peace, cessation of againstness. I sought by the promises of God a response to this news that those promises might, if not remove, at least relieve the stress, the distress that I found myself in. I don't believe that my faith was weakened, but I have to tell you, it was jolted. And I won't say I had an entirely sleepless night, but suffice it to say, even my sleep was disrupted. And myriads of promises from God's word did not relieve it. I want to share this morning what began to remove the threat that was bringing on this distress. Now, last week, we ended in that those wonderful phrases in that first chapter of Corinthians, that says, in the beginning in the 29th verse, it says that no flesh should glory in his presence, that is, boast, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, that is, Jesus, wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, and as I translated last week, I'll do it again, he that boasteth, let him boast in the Lord. Now, I referred those verses in 1 Corinthians all the way back to the book of Jeremiah in that ninth chapter, and I referred to it, Jeremiah 23 and 24. Let's read them. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise, and I'm going to cut through the religious aspect of the King James translation and get right to the heart of the meaning of the word. And it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise boast in his wisdom, neither let the mighty boast in his might. Let not the rich boast in his riches, but let him that boasteth boast in this, that he understands and knoweth me, that word, understanding. I have every confidence that throughout Scripture, when we encounter that word understanding, it truly, folks, speaks of the Spirit of God. And nothing can stump the Spirit of God. That he understands and knows me. The word is a derivative of the word the Hebrew word we often have referred to, yada. And it certainly has to do with knowledge. It has to do with intimate knowledge. Even to use an analogy of a man knowing his wife, or a wife knowing her husband. It's an intimate knowledge. And it says, but let him that boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. That's talking about here and now while we're on this journey. For in these I delight, or in these I am pleased, saith the Lord. He exercises loving kindness. Chesed is the word. Oftentimes it's translated mercy. Oftentimes it's translated grace, which means to us unmerited favor, that God, without us deserving it, exercises loving kindness and judgment. Just, I would speak one word to the Christian who's on this journey, who trembles at this word, where God says he exercises judgment. Folks, that Christian walks with the understanding that the judgment that was due us because of our sins was exercised on Jesus Christ. Once and for all. And as Christians, we walk out from under that judgment of God as God, who chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world, has promised. We Christians should not tremble at this pronouncement of God of his exercising judgment in the earth. And the third word is, I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, grace, mercy, unmerited favor, judgment, that which was exercised on Jesus Christ, that it might not be exercised on us, and righteousness. The word is tzedek. In one of my interlinear translations, it says covenant loyalty. And this word, righteousness, is not to be understood outside of the covenant, the promise of God. It speaks of His faithfulness. He made a covenant. Jesus said, "This is the new covenant . This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, that is, in my life. What am I saying here, folks? God's faithful, and He's gracious, and He's merciful. And He has already exercised that which was due us on His only begotten and beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Well, Don, where's the well? Where's the well? Well, you know, there are so many in the church today that would suggest that when you become a Christian, it's going to be a smooth, straight up path to God. That there won't be any bumps or turns in the road. That everything is just going to be rosy and, you know, if trouble comes in your life, then you better start looking at yourself, because there's obviously something wrong with you, because this is not supposed to befall Christians. Well, the scripture says the rain falleth on the just, that is the righteous, and the unjust, that is the unrighteous, alike. In this journey, I would bring us to this well. To this understanding. I want to open in the 21st verse of the 4th chapter of Romans, and I want to read, speaking of Abraham, and being fully persuaded, that is, empowered by faith, that what He, that is, God had promised, He, God, was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him, that is, to Abraham, for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we faith on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the death, who was delivered for our offenses God's word is so consistent, I love it. And was raised again for our justification, that is, being made just like God, that is, for our righteousification. Therefore, Paul goes on in the fifth chapter, being righteousified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice. The word, folks, is boast, and boast in hope of the glory. Now, this word is doxa, the glory, the weight, the heaviness, the... person of God. And he goes on to say, and not only so, but we boast in tribulation. And I was stressed because I got whacked. And this word tribulation comes out of the Latin tribulum, which was the process for beating the wheat from the chaff. God's looking for wheat. Part of the process is to whack us. And Paul says that we boast in whackings. We not only boast in the hope of the glory of God, but we boast in whackings. Also, knowing that the whackings, the tribulation, worketh. King James translates the word patience. The word is endurance. And endurance, experience. This that came this week is not the first time I've been whacked. But it just was so unexpected, it knocked me sideways for a little while. And in his kindness, God brought me again to this wonderful picture of the Christian who's on a journey, who passing through the valley of weeping, who is getting whacked, that wheat might be separated from the chaff. The wheat, God is not only looking for, but will produce. And I was reminded of all the other whackings, maybe not all, but many, of other situations that I would call whackings, that I thought was the end, but through endurance made them through it. And that endurance produced experience, triedness. I'm still here. I survived. You're still here. You have survived. And because of the whackings and enduring the same, experiences produced, we understand we made it through the others. We'll make it through this one too. And that triedness produces hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why does the hope not make us ashamed? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us for when we were yet without strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us in that, listen, folks, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Like in Psalm 84, there is no reason that the man whose strength is in thee and in whose heart are the ways of God, there's no reason given for the valley of weeping. There's no reason here in this fifth chapter, there's no cause on our part for the whackings. It's the cause of God. He's looking to produce wheat, and the process is whacking and endurance and experience. And because we survived that whacking and that whacking and this current whacking, we have hope. And faith is the substance. It's hypostasis, as we've given alternative translations, the title deed. The right to ownership, the sure confidence in things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. God of whom it is said in Psalm 84, who of that blessed man it says whose God is their strength, and in whose heart are the ways of God, not only will he pass through, but he will boast. And make that valley. He will boast in tribulation and make that valley a well, a place for refreshment of others on this journey. Now, God also tells us in Ephesians the 6th chapter, finally, my brethren, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that is the Lord's. Blessed is the man whose strength is in God. Saying the same thing, and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Circumstance, and we have often said that we are better off relying on God's word because it is more substantial than anything that we might feel, see, or encounter. Put on the whole armor of God that ye might be able to stand against the wiles, the craftiness of the devil. Listen, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not our brothers or sisters. It's not our mother and father. It's not our friends. It's not our co-workers. It's not even our enemies, though we need to be mindful. But here's where the real contest is, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We'll come back to that verse some other time. But because of this contest that has ensued, because of the calling of God, because of the choosing of God, because of the blessedness of the man of whom it is said, whose strength is in thee and in whose heart are the ways of thee, warfare is engaged. Always being mindful, this world is not our home. But Paul goes on and says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is reality, and being the speaking agent of God who spoke these worlds into existence, we are to have our loins girt about with truth, with Jesus, more real and having on the breastplate of righteousness that which we read about in Romans, where it says it's given to us, imputed unto us, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The good news of God, that the righteous by faith shall live. Above all, taking the shield of faith. What about the shield of faith? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. We have a foe whose design is to separate us from God, and the only way that we can be separated from God is that our faith break. And she will use circumstance after circumstance to try to break that gift which of faith which God has given us. But the apostle tells us, by the shield of faith, by holding up grabbing hold of all the promises of God, we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts, all the circumstance that might suggest somehow we have fallen out of the will of God. Baloney, folks, stay in the Word. Quench all the fiery darts of the devil, fiery darts of the wicked. That means not only the devil, but all his minions. Psalm 37 says, and he shall help them and deliver them and deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So it says that so God says to those on this journey, boast in this, that you understand I've given you my Spirit. And you know, and we're walking daily together, that I am God which exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness, faithfulness. For in these things I delight. The word can also be translated pleased. And Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. So while we're on this journey, and tribulation comes, remember, God's separating the wheat from the chaff. and he does it by tribulation. So we boast in what God is doing. And we endure it. And because we endured that one and that one and that one, we have experience. And this one also, because of the experience, we understand we will, like the man in Psalm 84, pass through that valley, pass through that trouble, pass through that whacking, and that we remember that not only has God by his grace, and that through faith, which are gifts of God, he has made available for us as we are in this war, on this journey. He has made available the whole armor of God. And here is a testimony found in 1 Kings 20th chapter, the 11th verse. Tell him, let not him that girdeth his armor boast as he that putteth it off. What does it mean? It means just because you put on the armor, that's not a position, a place, an experience to boast. But when we find ourselves seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, wherein he has plunged the devil and his minions into the lake of fire, and our foes are finally vanquished, then will we have no more need of that honor, and we shall take it off and boast in the greatness and grace and faithfulness of God. And that's the God School for today.